नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
एतावतालम् अघ गिर्हरणाय पुंसं संकीर्तनं भगवतो गुणा परम नाम्नां विकृष्य पुत्रं अघवान् अजामिलोपि नारायणेति म्रियमाणा धियाय मुक्तिम् एतावतालम् अघनिर्हरणाय पुंसम् संकीर्तनं भगवतो गुणकर्मणं नाम विकृष्य पुत्रमगवन् यरजामि लोपि नारायणेति म्रियमाणाय मुक्तिम् एतावतालमघनिर्हरणाय पुंसम् संकीर्तनं भगवतो गुणकर्मणं नाम विकृष्य पुत्रमघवन् यरजामि लोपि नारायणेति म्रियमाणाय मुक्तिम् etavata,
with this much,
alam,
sufficient,
agha nirharanaya,
for taking away
the reactions of sinful activities,
pumsam,
of human beings,
sankirtanam,
the congregational chanting,
Bhagavata,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Guna,
of the transcendental qualities,
Karmanamnam,
and of his names, according to his activities and pastimes,
Vikrushya,
crying. Two fence.
The sinful.
Yad.
Since.
Ajamila api.
Even Ajamila.
Narayana.
The Lord's name.
Narayana.
Iti.
Thus.
Maria
Mana.
Dying.
Iyaya.
Achieved.
Muktim,
liberation.
Translation.
Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamila, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayana. Purport. In the assembly of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Haridas Thakur confirmed that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is liberated, even if he does not chant completely inoffensively. Smarta Brahmins and Mayavadis do not believe that one can achieve liberation in this way. But the truth of Haridas Thakur's statement is supported by many quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sayam pratar grinan bhaktya dukha gramad vimuchate. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion in the evening and in the morning, one becomes free from all material miseries. End quote. Another quotation confirms that one can achieve liberation if one hears the holy name of the Lord constantly, every day with great respect. Anudinam idam adharena shrinivan. Another quotation says, Shravana kirtana jaya harer adbhuta karmana. Janma karma gunanam cha tararte kila cheshtitam. One should always chant and hear about the extraordinary as stated in the Amar Kosha, the most authorized dictionary in the Sanskrit language. Alam Bhushana Prayapti Shakti Varana Vachakam. The word alam is used to mean ornament, sufficiency, power, and restraint. Here the word alam is used to indicate that there is no need of another process. For the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. Even if one chants imperfectly, one becomes free from all sinful reactions by chanting. This power of chanting the holy name was proved by the liberation of Ajamil. When Ajamil chanted the holy name of Narayana, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajamil certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death. And in such an awkward condition, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajamil to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajamil achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not as sinful as Ajamil? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thus one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offense, one increases his love for Krishna. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Pum Pum Arto Mahan. One's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase one's love for Him. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.24. Evam dharmair manushyanam udhavat mani vedinam mai sanjayate bhakti konyonto Shyavashishyate. My dear Uddhava, the supreme religious system for human society is that by which one can awaken his dormant love for me. Commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the word bhakti by saying, Premai Vokta. Ko Anya Arta Asya. In the presence of bhakti, what is the necessity of liberation? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also quotes this verse from the Padma Purana. Namaparadha yuktanam namanyeva harantyagham avishranti prayuktani tanyevarta karani cha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again. Papakshayascha bhavati smaratam tam aharnisham. One becomes free from all sinful reactions if one chants day and night, following the recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who quoted the following verse. Harer nama, harer nama, harer name eva kevalam, kalo nascheva, nascheva, nascheva gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. If the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement strictly follow a recommendation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their position will always be secure. So Yamaraj here, who is the lord of religion, right? So he can be taken as an authority in this matter. Is that the important element then of processes is chanting the holy name. The Yamadutas were worried that he didn't do any particular process according to them. He wasn't following anything according to the Karmakanda. Because anyone who the Yamadutas deal with has been performing this Karmakanda. They also Jnanakanda, but in other words, strictly following Vedic rules. And the stricter they follow it, the less the Yamadutas bother them. And the less strict they follow it, the more they make their life uncomfortable. So they did not see anything that was done by Ajamil that would entitle him to being protected by these Vishnu Dutas. But here then, Yamaraj is pointing out that this chanting of the holy name, that's the real thing that what purifies. Now here, we're even just talking about the secondary aspect. We're not even talking about the primary. The secondary aspect is your chanting, even if it may not be ideal. It's not chanted properly, right? But by doing that, you will be freed from all sinful reactions and become liberated. So in the material world, the karmis are trying to get free from all sinful reactions, so they're pious and they enjoy the heavenly planets. And the jnanis are trying to become liberated. So they're all working very hard for these two things. I mean, very hard. It means all the ritual, everything that they do is all for this purpose. But here, Ajamil, who is, he probably says, famous for being sinful, right? You know, somebody may be, you may think he's, but famous, that means everybody knows this guy's sinful. Right? Now, you know, he's bad. And he's chanting. And because of this chanting, he's freed from all sinful reactions. So this makes no sense to the Yamadutas. So Yamaraj points out, of course it won't make any sense to you. Because we, here, the great, you know, the Dick Pauls and the great personalities who manage the universe are freed from passion and ignorance. But they're under the control of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, you can't understand the Supreme Lord. Right? You can understand religious principles, what to do, the proper ritual. You have the qualifications, the enthusiasm to perform them. But to actually understand transcendence and the Supreme Lord, that you can't from the mode of goodness. It's just not enough. It's just the nicest of the material situations, and the nicest brings out the nicest material facilities. But it doesn't invoke, then, love for Krishna. So he's pointing out that just by chanting, even though he wasn't even remembering the Lord, he was remembering his son, he still got the benefit. Right? This is something very special because we tend to think it's about us, right? That's always going to be the thing. Oh, he didn't chant purely, or he didn't chant this way, or he didn't chant that way, or his situation was bad, and which is all true. But unfortunately, that perspective means that we're taking that we're the cause of our elevation, we're the cause of our liberation, as opposed to the Lord is so glorious and so far beyond the material creation that simply connecting oneself to his name, even if it's not ideally, the effect is it takes one beyond the material world. Right? So that means the name is independent. It's not about us. It means we can commit ourselves to it, but it's not about us. Right? We're not the ones doing it, because we're always in this idea, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So, therefore, there's this says, no, what I'm doing, that's the real thing. No. It's about the Lord is the real thing. And by us being connected to the Lord, however we're connected, that will get us beyond the material scope. That'll get us to the transcendental platform. Because that's just the secondary, that's the side effect. Right? That just happens anyway. The real effect, as Prabhupada's pointing out, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, is developing love for Krishna. Prema, that's the real thing. So that's what should be cultivated. It's not that we're chanting to become free from offenses. We're chanting to develop love for Krishna. Because chanting offensively, that will free you from the material world. But chanting offensively, that will develop love for Krishna. Right? Why? Because that pleases Krishna. So in any case, just by chanting, being in contact with Krishna, one's liberated. But you please Krishna by one's sincerity, you develop love. So that's the real religious principle. Right? There isn't another. Everything is just explaining this principle. But because we're so used to the processes of karma and gyan, and the goals of them being very elevated, then those goals that one works so hard at for lifetimes, one is getting it by a chanting, by a sinful person calling his son. It just doesn't make sense, right? Bhagirathi Maharaj, he's the third in the generation, right, that was trying to get Ganga to come down. That means whole lifetime they're spending doing their meditation and austerities. Right? How hard is that? Right? And this, we're talking about Kshatriyas here. We're not talking about somebody who has nothing to do. Right? You know, they're just some wastrel that, you know, hey, okay, if he goes out and does meditation, no one's going to mind. We're talking about kings. We're not talking about some little king, you know, that's got, you know, a few hundred acres of land as his fiefdom here. We're talking about emperors of the world. So they're sitting down and doing this. So they're going to do it nicely. And it takes three generations. And here, Ajamil, most unqualified person, is just chanting. And he's not conscious of the Lord. He's only thinking about his son. Right? He does then think of the Lord because he remembers it's Narayan's name. But that's not the point. We should not go, no, but this happened. Because then again, it's because he remembers, that's what, no. It's because Krishna's given this process. You follow it. Even though it's on a neutral state, you get a neutral result. Think about it. Getting to the Brahman platform, that's neutral, right? Material world's negative, spiritual world's positive, and being liberated is neutral. So you chant in a neutral state of mind, you get a neutral result, right? You chant the holy name because you want something material, you get material. You chant it because you want to please Krishna, you go back to Godhead, right? So in other words, since Krishna is the one who's created everything, it's his creation, he's pervading everything, that means everything goes on by him. So by his name, that's why everything's happening. Yeah, so the Acharyas are pointing this out is that liberation is just coming as a side thing. It just comes anyway. The real point is prema. That's the real endeavor. So that should be our focus, not so much on becoming freed from sin and these things, or worrying about if others are on that platform. Right? It's about being involved in hearing and chanting and glorifying the Lord in the association of devotees, that's what's going to make everything perfect. Right. Any questions on this comment? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Actually, my question is that devotee, I see usually they chant on counters.
They chant on counters.
Yeah. So, and
you said devotees usually can't chant on counters.
So it is nowadays. Recommended. It is recommended because
it is recommended.
They are talking with devotees and this, they count their rounds on chanters, counters. So
it says chant constantly.
Yeah. So now sometimes they talk with devotees and sometimes they chant round, you know, on counter.
But
so is it proper way to chant or this? You can clarify it.
Is it a proper way to chant? So the effect is actually, means the holy name is governed by whether you're using beads or whether you're using a clicker. The Lord is under the control of these items. Is that your point? Yes, that's your point. Okay. So seeing that the Lord is independent, it doesn't matter. You understand? The Lord, the name has effect. Now, if you want to get full effect, you'll actually try to focus on what you're chanting and try to remember the Lord. Does that make sense? So it's not about the counter or the beads. It's about absorption in Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? Now, the point is why beads over a counter? Because beads, then you're associating with Tulsi Devi. And she's one of the ones that can award bhakti. Right? So again, it's about the person. It's about Krishna and his name. It's about his devotees. Right? You know, why be in the Dham? Because the Dham itself can give that. Right? The dust from the Dham. Govardhan. You know, right? Jamuna. They can give love for Krishna. That's why we associate with him. It's not about the negative. It's about the positive. You understand? So the question's a valid question, but you have to know what's primary and what's secondary. Because the name isn't controlled by that. But the point is why are we using them? That may indicate a mentality that itself may have some strength or weakness. You understand? But the holy name is not affected by whatever you chant on. I mean, devotees in early days, they'd get these red beads from some shopping place like that. They were just wood beads painted red. And devotees, you know, made those up. They weren't Tulsi. But it's just to make sure that you count. So that's the natural. You're not it's the easiest. It's simple, right? In other words, chanting on beads is simple. Chanting on a clicker is complicated, right? Because the clicker needs a battery. It has these moving parts. It falls apart. You have to make sure you have one. You have to make sure it's actually counting. You know what I'm saying? Well, beads are pretty straightforward. So that's why it's recommended to use beads, right? But if situations are tough, beads don't work, but you want to still be chanting, then a clicker is great. There's a little button you push, and then, yeah, okay. Does that make sense? In other words, the idea would be you do your rounds on your beads and extra rounds you do on your clicker, but there may be you're riding on the bus to go to work. That's the time you have to chant your rounds. Beads may work, beads may not. If they work, great, use them. If they don't, use a clicker. The point is chant. You know what I'm saying? The point is whatever you do, get at least 16 rounds done. But the point is to constantly be chanting. Does that make sense? So whatever you have to do to always be chanting, do that. That's the real thing. So it's not about oh, clickers are okay or clickers are not okay. It's not about the clicker. It's about our absorption in the chanting. Right? And therefore, beads give more assistance than clickers. Because you have the extra effect of the association with Tulsi. You know what I'm saying? But if that doesn't work, then use the other. Does that make sense? Okay. Something else? Yes.
If I endeavor to constantly chant the holy name, then what do you do when the mind gets tired?
The mind gets tired. Then you have to use the intelligence. Does that make sense? It means if the mind is inspired with the spiritual things, so it just spontaneously does, great. If not, then you have to use the intelligence to control it to point out all the benefits. Right? Because mind works on benefits, right? It accepts and rejects. So it accepts on what benefit I'll get, it rejects on what benefit I won't get. Right? So if the intelligence can point out that what will be the benefit of chanting, then it'll work like that. Does that make sense? So that's why one's trying to practice the process of buddhi yoga, which means we're using intelligence to inspire ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Right? So when one's performing sadhana bhakti, then the buddhi yoga is the basis. Now once one becomes more purified and more inspired, then one may spontaneously be absorbed in chanting. But until then the intelligence has to be quite a prominent aspect, right? That's why then regulation, because the mind being produced from goodness likes regulation, right? So then if you regulate that, always chant at this time, always read at this time, always do these things at that time, then it makes it easier for the mind, because the mind likes to do things at a specific time. Does that make sense? So that just makes it easier. That's why sadhana is always structured. And then on top of that, you have the intelligence. And on top of that, you have association. You associate with others who are inspired to chant. That will inspire you to chant. Does that make sense? So, in other words, any one of them will be successful. But the ideas, all of these are offered because then from the combination, then you're hoping that at least one will be successful. You know? It's just like you have a Marwari, right? They have 10 businesses. They could have one big business, but they don't. They have 10 smaller businesses. Why? Because if one fails, they have 9. Right? Does that make sense? But so that means this: if one really works for you, focus on it, and that's fine. That's the whole point. One will work, two will work, all of them will work. So you just, what works for you, try to adjust your life that's what creates the inspiration. Is that okay? Okay. Something else? Yes.
We see that our masters, gurus, teachers give us, they have broad vision, broad knowledge, and give us the full knowledge they got. And even if we may not be able to reach to understand fully, you know? But in the case of the Yamadutas, they were not given the full knowledge. They were never told about the Lord Vishnu and the Vishnu Dutas. So why was that?
Why was that? They weren't interested. This is the first time they've ever asked, who are these guys? Right? I mean, that's the Vedic system, is that generally you don't tell somebody something that they're not interested in. Because if you tell them, then they get grumpy afterwards and say, well, I didn't want to know that. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, because they're pious people, that they got themselves to the Pitri Loka. But their future generations weren't pious enough to maintain them in their natural state, then they turn into Yamadutas. So they're actually, in basis, very pious people, means Karmakandis. So Karmakandis are not famous for knowing about bhakti, right? But Yamaraj is, because he has to deal with the whole universe. He has to see. So only a devotee would actually deal with it properly, right? Because your judgment. Judging is one of the most dangerous things. Manusmita mentions that if you judge somebody and it's not correct, it will destroy you, it will destroy your associates, your family, the place you live, everybody around you. It's very, very powerful. And it's not about, well, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. No, it just that's the way it works. It's just like, oh, we're devotees, if I stick my finger in the fire, it won't burn. If I fall off the cliff, I won't get hurt. Hey, look at, you know, what is it called? What's that coyote guy? Wile E. Coyote. He falls off 2,000-foot cliffs every time, and it just makes that little shape in the ground, a little poof, and then he crawls out of it looking a little bit bedraggled, and then life goes on, right? Does that make sense? So you can say these things, but if we look at that, that means we're looking at life through the vision of, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. Right? They are still on Saturday, right? Or is it Sunday? I don't remember. But whatever it was. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole idea is that punishment is one of the most difficult things to apply. Right, to manage is one thing, but to punish, that's even greater. So only the king, his ministers, highly qualified Brahmins as judges, they're the only ones qualified in the whole kingdom to make judgments. So that means that if we're going to make a proper judgment, we actually have to be beyond anger and envy. Right, and that comes from attachment. And that's based on false ego, which is based on ignorance. This is how Brahma created the illusion, right? So, therefore, if someone has great ego and therefore attachment, they will not be a good judge. So only a devotee actually will be able to judge everybody in the universe. Because then these things are reduced to the point where he can actually function. And as we see, Yamaraj himself, he's in contact with the Supersoul. So actually, Supersoul makes the decision. But he is devotional and pure enough to be able to have that contact, so when the Lord makes the decision, then he pronounces it and affects it. right? So we're dealing on a different level here. So the Yamadutas are only involved on the pious level. So those who are pious and impious, they come to Yamaraj. The devotees don't, so they have no experience. Right? Because generally someone who's practicing devotee, they know, okay, you leave these guys alone. Like that. But it's obvious Ajamya was not a practicing devotee. Right? He was not really doing anything that you would recommend. Right? And so because of that, then for them he was a prime candidate for going to hell. Right? So therefore they couldn't understand this because they've seen people doing sadhana, doing yajnas, doing, you know, studying knowledge, doing austerities. They've seen these and they know, okay, these are, you know, very powerful positions. But they've never seen anyone just be totally sinful and then chant the name of his son and be liberated. That they've just not seen. It's not. That's why Ajamil, the name, what I've understood in Sanskrit, means that which never happened before will never happen again. Right? So there's only one Ajamil in the universe, right? You don't need a bunch of them. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? Yes. Okay. Got something in the back. It goes that way. I think it's going that way. That way back there is just... Oh, didn't quite make it. In the previous class, okay? Means I said, or somebody said. Okay. Okay.
Destroy that effect, because Krishna, even if a devotee forgives you, Krishna doesn't forgive, because he thinks that, like, he is more angry if you offend his devotee than him. So how does holy name destroy Vaishnava Parada?
Okay, but that one is probably about number three. You know what I'm saying? The most sinful is to kill a Brahmin. So if it'll get rid of that, it'll get rid of intoxication, stealing the gold of a Brahmin, you know, taking the wife of a Brahmin, or associating with people who do those things. Right? Those are the five most sinful elements, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is what is the sin? We're saying these five are sinful. Why are they sinful?
They're
Vedic scriptures, but why would the Vedic scriptures give these, you know, as, you know, why not opening the wrong end of a Cracker Jacks box, or, you know, how you say, leaving 2 millimeters of orange juice in the glass in the refrigerator, or, you know, things like that. Why these?
Because they cause harm to other people.
They cause harm to other people. And what does that mean, harm?
Like that's harmful for their spiritual life, for their existence.
But how is it harmful for their spiritual life?
I mean, I'm just...
No, but I'm just saying, this is the process. See, otherwise we're looking at it that something's bad, so how could anything get rid of something bad? Right? Because, like the example you gave, sleeping with the guru's wife, okay, now that's, you know, bad. So therefore, in our mind, there should be nothing that can counteract that because it's bad. Right? That's the basis. So it's not actually based on the nature of the soul and on Krishna. It's based on our sense of judgment, which is based on our envy and attachment. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So then
The principle comes is that these things are there so the social scene functions nicely because people are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Someone's married because by marriage then one will engage one's desires according to the Shastra and Krishna's service. That's why it says a Brahmin's wife or the Guru's wife. It doesn't say your neighbor's wife. You know what I'm saying? That's a sin, but it's not in the five big sins. It's in the next one down. Does that make sense? Because your neighbor maybe doesn't care less about Krishna consciousness, right? But the Guru's wife, Guru does. So then you mess up that socially, then it's a problem. But it's not about messing up the social, it's about then they may not be able to deal with they won't be able to take care of them and in this way focus fully on Krishna. Does that make sense? Now, why is they in that position? Why are they here and the Guru has a wife and why are you here? Just they were passing out free tickets, you know, and you decided, hey, I'll try that, you know, and you got on the next bus, came to the material world. Maybe it was a chartered flight, you know, if you had a better ticket. Does that make sense? So we're here because of ignorance, because of illusion. So the point is anything that goes wrong is based on illusion. Based on illusion, how much reality is it? So if you have a huge amount of illusion, but you have one drop of reality, which is more powerful? Right? So that's why the Holy Name can clear these. Because if the Holy Name couldn't clear these, what would be our chances? You know what I'm saying? You think about it. How many devotees you know are born in qualified Brahmin families who actually follow the Vedic rituals and who happen to be Vaishnavas, which is even more rare? How many do you know? So they're the actual qualified ones to follow the culture and everything. So therefore, when one comes from a Malecha Yavana background, you know, or the way that as Prabhupada says, the 12 tribes, and then at the end of that, or lower. So we generally come in the or lower, you know, because as far west as the 12 tribes goes is the Palindas in, you know, over there in Greece and Turkey. So if you're farther west than Greece or Turkey, then yeah, or farther east, you could go into the Orient, then you're Akasha, okay? But for most, we don't even fit into the 12 tribes. We fit into the or lower, right? You know what I'm saying? Siberians are one of the tribes. Everybody else in Russia is or lower. Does that make sense? So, therefore, without the Holy Name, what's the chance? Like that. So that's why we're able to chant. That's why we're able to maintain, because we don't necessarily look at devotees with the most ideal vision. We are critical. We are these things. But despite that, we're still in Krishna consciousness, still developing. Slowly, if we gave those things up, we'd develop very quickly. But because of our attachment, we develop slowly, but still it's working. I mean, this movement is proof of that, right? Does that make sense? So, of course, we're not as sinful as Ajamil, like that. He's definitely out, I can't tell what's the word by that, but, you know, he's done better than us, you know? Like that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but still, you know, we're hanging in there, like that.
Is it correct to say that these offenses, even to Vaishnavas, they're kind of illusion because you don't, they're not directly related to our soul and Holy Name is...
Means the whole world is illusion. So even if you're doing nicely, it's still an illusion.
So that's why Holy Name can destroy even this.
So anything pious, anything impious, because you have to give them both up. Right, the gopis that didn't go to the rasa dance because the residue of their pious or impious activities still remained.
So that means their piety had to be burnt up also, because piety means there's faith that if I do this, I'll get a good result in the material world and I will enjoy that. You understand? Because we're trained that being good, that's standard and that's religious. But being bad, then that's sinful and it's not religious. Right? But the definition of religion is not clear. Because the point is being good, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? It's not being good means doing something that pleases God. Right? Of course, yes, if you're nice and don't bother, don't steal your neighbor's donkey. Yes, God thinks that's better than, you know, if you ran a, you know, had a, what do you call it? A very good business going of stealing donkeys and taking them across the border and selling them. You know what I'm saying?
So why does Krishna say that if you, even if my devotee forgives you, I don't, because why is that?
Because you're offending the devotee element. See, it's here you're talking about the guy's wife. That's not the devotee element. That's the conditioned element.
My question was...
Ambarish was not insulted as a king. He was insulted as a devotee. So in this example you give of the Brahmin's wife, that's the conditioning. He wasn't insulted as a devotee. They're different.
So what does it mean to be insulted as a devotee?
That the devotional element you don't respect. Ambarish is that he is trying to do everything to deal nicely, you know, according to the etiquette. Does that make sense? Right? So, but he's taking it that he's just an ordinary person because he's a Kshatriya and he's a Brahmin. And so he's not understanding his position as devotee. Does that make sense? So there's a difference. Yeah, these subtleties, that's what Bhagavatam's all about, is understanding the subtleties. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, we'll end here. Time's up. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you.